Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. My guest today is Alyssa Weathers Murphy, who is the owner and chief consultant at Siren Media, which is an Oklahoma City-based digital marketing agency. Today, we're going to be discussing Alyssa's journey of building her agency and what she's learned along the way. So thanks so much for joining us today, Alyssa.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So to get started, let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit.
Sure thing.
So what would you say really motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
A lot of my inspiration comes from small business owners. So I was actually raised in a small business. My dad and my grandpa had a TV repair and sales company, and it's still in existence today.
Oh, and very cool.
Yeah. Talk about innovating. They've had to definitely change things up over the years, but yeah. Having that as like a basis for my business knowledge and experience and exposure really inspired me to get involved in small business marketing, which is what we do at Siren Media.
That's awesome. So, you know, tell us a little bit about your journey of, you know, what it was like in the early days of first starting out Siren Media and, you know, what some of those challenges were that you had to overcome.
Yeah. So I started my agency unexpectedly.
Okay.
It's kind of like Fran Drescher in The Nanny experience where she's, you know, she's out on the street on the curb with no luck. I had actually gotten laid off from a position that I had taken that was just not a good fit for me, not a good cultural fit, not a good fit all the way around. And it's, you know, it's all right, but you're in that position where you didn't have any warning or any notice that that was going to happen. Mm-hmm. So I had to very quickly get on my feet and think about what I was going to do. And to give that more context, I did business development and sales for various marketing media and marketing companies and agencies prior to that. And I always felt that my sales background and sales experience was way more valuable to employers than my actual marketing knowledge. You know, I went to school for marketing. I managed plenty of social media accounts along the way. And there was just not this demand for my marketing skill set, and it didn't pay as much as a salesperson. So
right.
My minor in college was actually professional sales at the University of Central Oklahoma. And that got me way more callbacks from companies that sold marketing solutions than it did for my actual being a strategist or something like that. I applied for a lot of marketing positions and just did not get calls back. But being in the sales world, I always felt was very much, you know, corporate sales can be very aggressive. It can be very, there's a lot of burnout that can happen there. And there's also, if you're not the right kind of person or if you're in the wrong industry, there are a lot of things that can just take the wind out of your sails. So no offense to anybody who does sales professionally. And in fact, I still do sales to this day in my job. There's just a certain level a certain type of person, I should say, that's really cut out for that corporate sales model. I wanted to consult. I wanted to help businesses and I wanted to do it my way. So that is when Siren Media was born. I parted ways with that company in November 2018. I had a few girlfriends who were also laid off. A big agency in town had just done a bunch of layoffs. There was a big digital media firm that had been acquired. So they laid off a bunch of people. So I had all these friends who had free time and they could contract doing some things. And I had been telling my network that I was selling, websites and social media and SEO and SEM. And I called them and said, hey, I'm not any longer with that company. And I'm going to be going out on my own. It's going to be called Siren Media. I would love it if you would, grow with me. So basically got those folks to grow with me.
Interesting.
We started with two from my kitchen table, just writing content, figuring out how to build a website with a contractor that just had that skill set. So it was very much a jump off the cliff and figure out how to build the plane around you.
Yes, totally. That's so cool. I love that you just had that vision of, this wasn't working for you. You had a vision of what you wanted to do and then you just made it happen.
I just could not fathom another interview and dealing with another culture. And these were not bad people. And I will tell people like these were not, it wasn't a bad company or anything. It just was not a good fit. And
yeah,
I had a hard time finding a culture that I felt like I could thrive in, an environment where I wasn't just viewed as a production, a means of production, or just a salesperson who needs to meet their quota. I have a lot of crazy stories about being managed as a salesperson that, it's probably for another podcast, but yeah. I created something where I could do what I wanted to do and help small businesses figure out their marketing mess. And that to me is very inspiring every day.
Yeah. I love that. So, you were definitely very fortunate that, you had that network that you were able to lean on when you were first starting out. So that's, very helpful in the early days. So how did you grow from there? How do you continue to bring in more leads into your agency to grow the company?
For me, and that's a great question. For me, so I'm based out of Oklahoma City, and I swear there are just hundreds of agencies here. Being well networked has been my number one referral source. There are all those other good things too, like having a lot of reviews on your Google business profile and being found and having good SEO. But at the end of the day, more than 80% of my leads that come through our website are folks who were referred to us from people in the community who saw us sponsor something, have had somebody recommend me, like me by name. So a lot of it is, my own personal brand and name recognition. The other is going to be, what people have heard about Siren Media and how we're able to be found online. So it's a spread of those three things. I also do a lot of referral networking. So BNI, I think they might have those where you're at. I know you're in Canada.
Yes. Yep. I'm familiar with BNI. Yep.
I've been a longtime member of BNI, and that can be an awesome tool if you're in the right group and are building those relationships and building that level of trust and doing good work. It's sweat equity though. So you really have to give that time. That is not something that you can do overnight, but it is a very, very, there's a ton of return on it. Eventually.
Yes. That's so interesting. And with BNI specifically, I think it can deter certain people because there is a time commitment that you have to invest into it,
a
pretty substantial time commitment. So what are you looking at, if someone's looking to get involved just so they can know a little bit more about it?
Oh yeah. I would say that if you're the agency owner responsible for sales, or if you have a salesperson, a group like that can work. It's not to say that every single one does. And in fact, I've been in three different groups, and of the ones I was in the past, some were more productive than others. It just depends on who you're vibing with and who you're building those relationships with. Really proud the group that I chartered here in Oklahoma City has very good relationships, and we're about to cross the $1.7 million in past business. So I would tell people, if that's an avenue, if you're really interpersonal, I'm very interpersonal and I want to know people who can help my clients with other things. It is very much worth the time investment, but it is an investment and you need to be committed to it and mark that time off your calendar every single week. Mm-hmm. There's a return on that as well. So as long as you can gauge, and that's the world we live in as marketers, as long as you can gauge how much return you're getting off of it, mine's been you know, through the roof for what I pay. I get a lot of business from folks in that group, and good referrals, not just leads, but good referrals for people who are ready to move forward. So it's a different kind of lead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Very good. That's very helpful. So what would you say has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome as you've been growing Siren Media?
It's all going to be processes, you know, and at the end of the day, for agency owners, our job is to produce and fulfill services like websites, like social media content, like, you know, different campaign works, both strategies and tactics for clients. So we have been working really hard on documenting our process, trying to figure out what the best way is to do certain things. And there's a lot of trial and error figuring it out. And, you know, figuring out what's taking too long, what is in scope, what's out of scope for some of what we do. I mean, that's a big thing we've been talking about as a team going into next year, is how do we need to restructure what we do? Then I'd say the other thing is just managing, you know, going from doing things at my kitchen table by myself and doing everything and wearing every hat to now we have a project manager. Now we have full-time staff. Like, there's another element to that as you grow that requires help and knowledge. So to navigate those, I'm very big on having experts in those areas. So I do have consultants that I rely on to help me with some of those strategies for sure.
Yeah, it can definitely be overwhelming when you're, you know, all of a sudden you have to wear so many different hats as an entrepreneur. So, you know, how has, you know, having a mentor really helped to grow your business?
That's been honestly a saving grace. And honestly, shout out to Danielle Hamlet. She's my number one mentor, coach, process person right now. She is not a traditional business coach. She is an efficiency coach, is probably a better way to describe her. So she's a logistics background, like Six Sigma. You can get all those certifications. And I believe that was her formal education in school. But her specialty is looking at businesses, figuring out where they can be more efficient and how their processes could be improved to increase profitability, to increase your bottom line. And it's, she works with different kinds of businesses too. So she's got some who are like garage door companies. Some might be construction. I'm obviously an agency, and she's got like a good system that she walks people through and is a really wonderful accountability coach. So anyone that can help you with systems, processes, accountability, that's huge, because as a business owner, especially an agency owner, when you go from maybe wearing one hat in a past career to, like I was just wearing the sales hat, to all the hats, you really need to have somebody who can advise you and help you figure things out outside the box. I would definitely not be here if it was just me. A lot of smart people on my team.
Yes, absolutely. So what would you say has been one way that you've really helped boost your productivity?
I will give as honest of an answer as possible. it's time blocking, right? It can always be better. And right now I feel like I need to completely redo my time blocking. Going from the structure that how I've been running my weeks, I realized that I spend a lot of time in meetings, and I need to, you know, protect my time, especially now that we're a growing business. There's a lot of demand. We're getting a little bit more selective. We love small business. We're always going to be there for small business, but guarding your time and time blocking and having task lists has been very, very helpful. Again, I have Danielle Hamlet, Baylett Consulting, to thank for that. That was not a skill that came to me naturally.
Yes, time blocking has been really helpful for me as well, I found. Yeah, and it was something I probably only discovered in the last year, but there can be those really big looming tasks that you sometimes have. And oftentimes for me, it's those tasks where it's like you're working on the business, not necessarily in the business. So it can be easier to procrastinate on them. So, you know, whenever you just block off that time in your calendar, it's so helpful. It just gives you, you know, permission to just block everything else out, delve into that topic.
Right. Like Wednesdays, for instance, are days that I can take a meeting like this or do a podcast and then spend the rest of the day working on something. But having that structure around the week also helps the week go by a little bit faster, I find.
Yes. So interesting. So how do you maintain, you know, those happy clients that are going to help bring in referrals to you at the end of the day?
There's a process that we follow. So I know every agency is different, but for us, we went from producing social media as our core product. So creating custom content for local businesses is what we do. And that's everything from taking photos if we need to and shooting real footage or, you know, coming up with ideas and strategizing all the way to just doing some static posts from time to time. It depends on the need of the account. But what we've been doing, we went from a monthly production and approval process to doing everything ahead a quarter in advance, which was, you know, really, really difficult. And kudos to my team for making that transition because that was a huge lift. When we did that going a quarter in advance, though, it created a little bit better of a system to get in between those quarters where you have like a month that you're doing meetings, a month that you're doing content, and like a month you're doing approvals. So right. That's been a nice little system. But when we meet with our clients on a quarterly basis, some of them require monthly, we always ask for feedback. And that's something that is not very common in our industry. There's this feeling of, this is everything I did for you. Don't fire me. You know, you don't want to like lean into what you did, or maybe you had a really successful campaign and you're excited to just blow the lid off of it and tell the client all about it. But it is so important to check in with your client and really try to uncover what's going on. How are they thinking of things? How are they, viewing this information? Do they feel like they're getting a good return on their investment? At the end of the day, that's what our job is to do, is to give them a return on their investment. So yes, leading meetings off with, what did you like this last quarter? What did you not like this last quarter? How are we doing? Is there anything that we need to know about? What can we be doing better for you? And having those conversations before we even go into strategy meetings has been really helpful. Really.
That's so interesting. Yes, it can be a really unpleasant conversation to some people, you know, just having, you know, your faults, you know, just really, brought to the forefront of the conversation. So, but mm-hmm. it's so valuable knowing that information, because it really just helps you grow, have happier clients at the end of the day. And then you're able to take that and translate it across all your other clients as well. So I think that's really smart. And that makes a lot of sense.
Very true.
Yes. So where do you see Siren Media in 5 years' time?
That's a great question. And I'm in this, you know, this crossroads where it can be a lot of different things 5 years from now. I've daydreamed about it being, maybe a little bit more of an exclusive type offering and a smaller, like keeping the team small and keeping things exclusive and keeping things manageable, like keeping it boutique, essentially.
Yep.
Also daydreamed about it becoming a bigger operation with an office and a building and, you know, a lot of full-time people and all kinds of cool things going on. So I'm not quite sure what size I want this to go, but I do, in either direction, want us to scale and select and have, you know, a set number of either accounts we manage or projects that we take on. I want there to be a wait list. We've started to get to that point where we have to tell people like, hey, our books are closed for the year, so let's have this conversation in November and plan for 2023. That's a good place to be at, but I'd like it for it to be even more steadied out.
Very good. And I know you mentioned there's a lot of other marketing agencies in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. How do you really help stand apart from other agencies? And, you know, just what sets you guys apart?
The thing that I feel like I've done well as a professional this past 8 years is networking, and not even just in BNI. BNI is one level of my networking efforts, but I served as the president for the American Marketing Association in my local city chapter. I served on boards. I am involved in Rotary, like just being involved and having a name in the community. While that's not always going to be a return thing that you do, I just love volunteering and giving back. I'm limited on what I can do now as a business owner, so I have to be streamlined with my efforts. But that's the biggest thing for us, is that the name Siren Media here in my market and my name are kind of commingled. So I get a lot of referrals for people who want to work with me. And then I have some folks who want to work with the company because they've heard good things. So those two things together, I think, have helped us very much stand apart. And also, there are not very many women-owned digital agencies in my market. There are creative branding firms. There are PR firms, actually two really big, three PR firms that are big and owned by women that I have like the utmost respect for. But the kind of marketing that we're doing, I would call that more tactical or small business focused. There are not a lot of us. So being woman owned is something that that we message, woman owned, women led. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean I discriminate against men on my team. I'm currently reviewing a lot of applications right now, and we definitely would hire a male. But there is something to be said about people want to support us because we're woman owned. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's totally cool if you are someone who is not, might be marginalized in your profession, go for it. Like, make that something that is a positive, cool thing. I think that that's something that people love to hear about because it's inspiring. And you never know, like, for me, I get so bogged down in the day-to-day of things that when we posted that we were hiring, I got flooded with resumes, and I didn't realize how much my message of being a woman agency owner was resonating with some of these people who had applied. So I would get, all 40 of them that I was sifting through these past 2 weeks, you know, I love that you're woman owned. You're so inspiring. I want to work on a team that's just like this. Looked at your Instagram and da, da, da. So I think leaning into your uniqueness is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In our industry and in this market, being in Oklahoma City, there are a lot of like dude agencies, like we're edgy, we're hip, we're gonna push the envelope. So having that female perspective, mm-hmm, is something that's a little bit different, but I have people who reach out even just because they want to work with a female team. It's odd, very odd.
it's so interesting. And I know every agency has its own culture, has its own unique feel to it. So it's really interesting that you guys have identified the element of, you know, just being female owned and how that's played to your benefit.
Yeah. It's been a journey for sure.
Very cool. So I would love to learn a little bit more about how being a Rotary member has impacted your business.
Yeah.
I'm a Rotary member as well. And I love it. I love giving back to the local community. I'd love to hear a little bit about your experience and how it's impacted your agency.
Yeah, it's so funny. When you think of a Rotary club, you don't think of people in our age group, you know, like anywhere from 20s, 30s, starting families, getting their careers off the ground. But mm-hmm, I'm a member of the Oklahoma City Midtown Rotary, and that's in our Midtown area. So it's, you know, very metropolitan. It's right in the middle of our major metro, close to downtown where a lot of commerce happens. And this particular club, every Rotary club is different. There's like, mm-hmm, over 6,000 worldwide,
yep,
still active to this day. But this group that I'm part of is very arts focused and arts education focused. So that means we do things like going to volunteer for a local festival or getting funding for a mural that an organization wants to see happen. Like, we do all kinds of different projects. And that, to me, is a very streamlined effort because they provide a volunteer effort every month that I can, mm-hmm, just sign up to. And every month it's going to be different. The, yep, giving is always different. So yeah, you being a member, I'm sure it's might look a little different, but you're familiar with that structure.
Yes. And there's usually tons of different clubs in every city or town as well. I mean, I live in a small town just outside of Toronto, and there are three or four Rotary clubs in a span of like what would be about a 20-minute drive. So it really, when you're a Rotary member, it really opens up your network and you're able to connect with so many people.
Absolutely.
And it's just, that's just a bonus on top of the fact that it's super rewarding, fun work. You know, you're giving back to the community. You're able to get involved in some really unique fundraisers.
All of those different kinds of networking.
So fun.
I think people don't realize, like, you know, your networking that you might do with a church or religious organization serves a purpose, but it can create business opportunity.
Yeah.
Civic engagement club, like Rotary, you should probably treat it as a civic engagement thing, but it can have this kind of side effect. That's another reason why I really liked BNI, because I didn't have to be, you know, two-faced in my approach. Like, I'm really just here to get people to hire me for whatever I'm selling.
Yes.
You're really just there to talk about business. And that makes me feel good. I've gotten client work. I've gotten opportunities because I'm in Rotary.
Mm-hmm.
People like people who are involved in organizations with big names, but it's not really something I ever look at the end of the year and think, well, what did I get off of that? I'm not going to pay my dues and give back to Rotary International to end polio if I don't get 12 leads off this. I don't treat it that way.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's super rewarding work. It's really fun. And, but yeah, that's just basically a bonus. You know, you're going to meet tons of great people along the way. I'm not sure if your Rotary is the same, but our Rotary has tons of entrepreneurs that are part of it. So it's, yeah, it's just, it's a great way to meet other business owners.
Ours sure does too. Yay, Rotary.
Awesome. So do you have any, you know, final thoughts or words of wisdom you'd like to share before we move on to the Fast Five?
Yeah. Something I'm really passionate about is helping young women. I'm a woman. I identify she, her very much on binary. Like, I'm a woman, and I know what it was like being a young woman trying to get into the marketing industry and not being seen for the value that I had, only as like a sales tool or only as a salesperson. And something, and I have that same passion for other people who are absolutely marginalized and might not have the same success sending in their resume and getting a call back for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really passionate about making sure that I'm making time to help young people, whether that be, or people who are getting new to the industry, helping them develop themselves, giving them a little bit of guidance. So mentorship is, in my belief, that is something that I owe this community that is helping me be successful. So I would encourage other agency owners, you know, if you are a successful, even if you're still so busy, give somebody a coffee date. If it's, you know, a college kid who wants to work for you, but you're not hiring, go to coffee with them, give them a Zoom call, give them words of encouragement, hear where they're at in their life, and give back freely without expectation. And I will tell you, that's been another interesting referral source. I've had coffee with folks who I've helped at one point or another, and they come back to me when they have a job in a marketing department and they need a website or something. Like, those kinds of things are reciprocal. You call it good karma, you can call it giving back, whatever, but I'm really big on making sure that we as business owners, especially once we start to be successful, that we are giving back to people who are just getting in or might not have the same opportunity as you do, whether that's socioeconomic, whether that's due to their background, their race, their religion, ability, all of these things, gender identity. There's so many different things that can keep people from being at that like same starting line, that we owe that to help people be successful. If we all win, we all win. So very much, and I think that's more of a common mindset these days. It's a little less cutthroat.
Yeah.
There, I send referrals to other agencies. I get a lot of referrals from other agencies. We build good friendships, but we all, as business owners and entrepreneurs, need to be giving back to these communities that are feeding us. So
yeah,
give of your time when you can.
I love that, you know, not having that scarcity mindset and just, you know, helping people. And yeah, you know, you're leaving a good taste in that person's mouth. You've created a solid relationship and people remember that.
Yep. Do it without expectation. And
yep.
Yeah, scarcity and fear will not make you sell any harder or faster.
Yeah.
You'll do exactly the opposite, in fact.
Exactly. All right. Well, we are ready to move on now to the Fast Five. So I have five rapid fire questions for you.
Got it.
What's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
For me, that is going to be Dare to Lead by Brené Brown. This year, I started out with a goal. I've always been like a crash dieter, somebody who gets crazy at the gym and does the whole new year, new me thing. Mm-hmm. This year, I took a different approach and started small. So I read Audible books and started out with Brené Brown's Dare to Lead. Started a little book club with my group. We got away from it. We got so busy. That's on me. But there are so many good things in there that are helpful to me as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, as a woman in my field, as somebody who doesn't see themselves, you know, represented in my market a whole lot. Like there are a lot of things, a lot of feelings, a lot of shame that can attach itself to me if I'm not careful with my mind and my brain mm-hmm. and my heart. So Dare to Lead is an excellent book. And there are a lot of resources that Brené Brown gives to people who are looking for, you know, guidance. So highly recommend.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Sounds like a great read. And what does your morning routine look like?
So again, with that, trying not to do the new year, new me, like by the end of the year, I want to be a new me. And so far, so good. I started out with reading, listening to books on Audible every morning, and then waking up earlier and having a smoothie. So I work with a nutritionist and I've got like this fruit smoothie with protein and almond milk. And I make that for myself every day of the week. On the weekend, it's whatever we're cooking or we're going to brunch. But every day of the week, I wake up earlier. I take my smoothie. I take my meds, take my meds for mental health, and then spend some time trying to connect spiritually. I'm not a person of religion. I'm somebody who's, you know, open to different spiritual things. I have a shelf in my house that's got all, you know, all these pictures, family pictures of loved ones who have passed and friends who have passed. And I light a candle on it and I just, you know, be quiet for a minute and think about what I want my day to be like. I've recently gotten into tarot cards, which is super interesting. If you're using it as a tool to think about your current situation and gain some insight, like it can be really interesting. But okay. I'm also in the Bible Belt and that freaks people out when I tell them that. So I have to be very careful with who I share. There's no Ouija boards or anything like that, but tarot has been a really fun practice.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, just a good little, you know, read a card, look it up, what it means online, and then think about how that applies to your situation or what your question might be in your brain. It's kind of a cool brain exercise too. Then I'll go upstairs, I'll get ready for the day, you know, shower, make sure that I look presentable, and then get to my emails. Some days I will have things on my mind and I just need to get straight to my computer before I go do all that, mm-hmm. clear my brain. But that's what I try to do every day, go through that routine.
Nice. I love that. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
There's really not. There are CEOs that I like to quote when I think of, you know, female CEOs and that book Leaning In. I forget she wasn't a CEO, but she was up there with Facebook.
Oh, Sheryl Sandberg.
That's right. Facebook. Yep. Right. She's got a lot of really good things, but no CEOs come to mind now.
Okay. And what is your favorite online tool?
For the year, I have to say that my favorite online tool for the agency and being a social media company is Cloud Campaign. There are software, basically we manage all of our social media posts using Cloud Campaign. They manage our approvals. They help us with basically running all social media accounts for a client.
Okay.
They make life a lot easier. And they're a growing company too. They're wonderful to work with. I'm on their client advisory board. They're super cool, wonderful people to work with. Really awesome platform. Been on it for almost 2 years now. And there's just a lot that it's done for my business and my team.
Very good. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
How to negotiate. So, and I say that I took sales and negotiation. Sales was a minor that I was able to take at my local university, and I did take a negotiations class. But it's like I closed the book on that class and never thought about it ever again. But had I gone back and looked up, refreshed my brain on what a zone of possible agreements is, what a, you know, where business can happen, and going back to some of those models, I think that I could have been way more objective about getting job offers, about going through them, about countering, about asking for what you want and not feeling shame, fear, or guilt around it.
Yep.
I think that we all probably do this where we have a lot of our own self-worth and a lot of other people's expectations put on us when we're in the job market. What will my family think? What will my parents think? How can I provide for my family? What will my friends and colleagues think? So trying to be more objective that this is a sales transaction at the end of the day, where you work and you know, unfortunately, like the people that I have, we are in a transaction. If you can look at it that way, it's easier to detach some of those emotions from that transaction.
That's really interesting. Yes. I think that's really great advice because it can be daunting, definitely working in sales and negotiating. So there's a lot of fear surrounding that for, you know, a lot of people. So definitely, you know, practicing and, you know, just continuing to learn and educate yourself on both sales and negotiating, I think is super valuable. That'll serve you well as an entrepreneur.
I agree completely.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Alyssa. It was a pleasure to, you know, pick your brain and learn about your story. So thank you again for joining me for the podcast.
Absolutely. Thank you, Julia.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast and we'll see you next time.